Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And it is October, and it is feeling like full fall and full school time right now. It's pretty exciting. I actually love this time of year. And with the change that's happening outside, I have brought in a guest that's going to help us think about some of the things that we need to be thinking about this time of year. So I have Crystal Smith in the studio with me. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Crystal is the supervisor for Pupil Transportation Department for the Mat-Su. And I wanted Crystal in here for so many reasons, and I'm going to start with just a little story. I'm a mom, and I was driving in this morning, and it is dark, and I have a son who picks up a bus at 7:30 in the morning, and I was watching as kids are crossing, and it's dark out there, and kids are crossing the street, and it's hard to see them, and there's no snow on the ground reflecting, so I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit about safety and all of those things that go along with kids riding the buses. So, but let's first start, Crystal, with what is the Pupil Transportation Department? What do you do?
That's a very good question. So we are a department of four. There's two routers specifically, and then an admin secretary and myself. And we all kind of dabble in routing. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of planning that goes into bus routes. So this is both for the regular education, the special education, any charter schools and their transportation charters that schools have outside of regularly assigned school activities. All of that comes through our department. So we're not only working with the routing side of things, but also we do contract manage. We have three different contractors here that work with the Mat-Su School District. And so we are regulating that paperwork, making sure that everything is in order and that if the state were to come in, they can see that those records are up to date and accurate.
So who are, you have, I believe the contractors are by region, right? So can
Correct.
You break that apart?
Sure.
First?
So most of us in the Palmer, Sutton, Palmer, Wasilla, Houston area, we have First Student is the primary contractor here in what we refer to as the core area or the major populated area of the valley. But Glacier View Transportation provides the transportation for Glacier View schools. And then Bunker and Bunker is the contractor in the far northern valley. So Trapper Creek, Talkeetna, Sioux Valley, Willow.
Got it. Okay. So you mentioned that really what your department helps do is help with the routing. So you guys, you're not driving the buses. We don't own the buses. We manage who's getting picked up and where.
Correct. Okay. When parents call in, this is how we describe it, that we route it and the contractors drive it.
Got it. Okay. Excellent. So tell me how you do that. That seems like a complex puzzle that you have all these pieces on the table and then you have to push it, put them all together and make it into a comprehensive route system. So how does that work get done?
It is a little bit of a puzzle. I would say that we all enjoy doing that. But combined with the four of us, we have many, many years in transportation experience, not just busing, dispatching, but various other experience across the state of Alaska. So we kind of take it as a challenge to be able to put all of that together. There is some timing. We do have a wonderful program. Tyler Technology has VersaTrans program. That's the primary program that we use. But we also obviously get input from the schools, from different departments that we come in contact with to try to make sure that that's all arranged before school starts. And for the most part, there are, of course, always tweaks, always things that we can do to polish the process. But for the most part, it's ready to go by the time school starts.
And I've actually seen that. I remember when there was a concerned community member about where not only her child's bus stop was, but where that community neighborhood bus stop was. And it was a safety concern, and it was addressed immediately. So I've seen that happen where if there need to be tweaks, they should be calling your department, correct? If somebody notices something should be adjusted.
Absolutely. And even if you're in doubt as to who to call, if you want to just call the Pupil Transportation Department, then we can better direct you. If it is a contractor-related issue, we can, of course, give you their contact name and number.
Excellent. So I want to talk about school bus drivers because I've been thinking, I think a lot about them. And I think about the work that they do and how much time they spend with our students every day. And it's the first contact for so many of our kids. What kind of training do our school bus drivers receive?
Absolutely. So it's quite intensive. And a lot of it is federally and state regulated as well. So before they even enter into a program, this is in their hiring process, they would be required to have an extensive background check, a drug test, a medical card, and then also a CDL permit. So
That's
commercial driver's license requirement. And that would be, they would be required to complete all of those things in a satisfactory manner before entering into the program. So the programs typically are, they vary between contractor, but typically around 3 weeks long. And what happens is that the first half of the day is spent in classroom, so actually learning about bus functions, safety on the road, student management, that type of thing. And then the latter half of the day, they're actually practicing that behind the wheel training with a trainer. So about 3 weeks is that program typically lasts. And then at the end of that, they actually do their, it's an exam. They have an examiner on board who walks them through the process of a pre-trip, of some cone work, and then also driving behind the wheel. And then if they pass that exam, then they're eligible to drive a bus. And they would pass it with a Class B commercial driver's license with passenger and school bus endorsement.
Interesting. That's excellent. That's quite a bit of training that they do. One of the things that like teachers or anybody who's working in the classroom, a lot of it, so much is managing student behavior and handling what's going on the bus. And I know that many of our buses have cameras. Is that mm-hmm. true?
That's true, yes.
And so that's a helpful tool for our bus drivers to be able to, if something happens, that can be looked at later to see if there was something that is important for to be able to put the puzzle together of what happened in the back of the bus.
Yes. There's also, of course, student accounts as well. That helps verify a story. But they actually receive not only student management within the training, but they also have a whole what they refer to as their safety department. These are safety officers. They're assigned to schools. And they really are the communicator between the school bus driver and students.
So oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're an awesome resource. And many of them have been there for multiple years, driven buses across the valley. And so they, if the bus driver is having issues on board the bus, they can go with to them and ask them their suggestions and implement a lot of their suggestions, which just talking with them, they have amazing amount of knowledge on how they're able to turn buses around.
I know that there's also a handbook or a conduct code for the buses. Is that right?
There is. And then they also do safety meetings every month. So every month, all of the drivers, attendants, and monitors have to attend safety meetings. And a big portion of those meetings are student management.
Interesting. That's so great. So one of the other things that I saw this year, which was really fun and exciting, was that so our district has the Capturing Kids' Hearts initiative that's been happening for years. And we have many schools that, blue ribbon winners for Capturing Kids' Hearts. And I think that has been extended to school bus drivers this year. Is that
correct? So school bus drivers have been asking for a little bit more assistance in just understanding some of the, even just the lingo that teachers use, principals use. They had a hard time, knowing exactly what that meant. And so this year we were able, with the help of the school district for funding purposes, we were able to put them in a class of Capturing Kids' Hearts. And one of the trainers actually had been a school bus driver in the past.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. So his experience was very helpful in helping them kind of bridge that gap.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love when we do that holistic learning and just sit. So then the classroom flows into the school bus and back and forth. That's wonderful. So this is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Matsubara School District. And I have Crystal Smith in the studio with me, who is our Pupil Transportation Supervisor. And we're just talking about our students riding buses. So I want to switch gears a little bit and one of the big things and what I started with is some of the safety issues that regard pupil transportation and kids on buses, kids getting on buses. Do you want to talk about some of the things that come through your office as main safety issues?
Sure. So I would say one of the most important things that parents or guardians could do across the district is just having a conversation with their students regarding safe transportation, not just on buses, but in any vehicle that they ride in, meaning if there's a seatbelt, wear it. The buses aren't equipped with seatbelts, but the same principle exists as far as staying in a seat, staying out of the aisle, keeping voice levels down. You can imagine when there's 50 students on board a bus, if they all have very loud voices, it's very distracting for a driver to focus on the road. Also, waiting for driver's instructions. So this is particularly important if you're at a bus stop where you're crossing a street, even if it's a little neighborhood street. The bus driver's responsibility is to make sure that the traffic has slowed from both directions before crossing students across the street. So it's really important that they wait there until the driver gives them the signal, which they will explain to the students on board the bus what that signal is before crossing the street. The other important factor is to bundle up. It's getting colder out there. It will inevitably be winter time here shortly. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't wear a hat, gloves, and mittens, keep them in your backpack. Buses do break down, and we certainly wouldn't want, you know, cold kiddos out there. And then reflective clothing. We've touched on that. I know, Jillian, you've done a PSA announcement about this, and we have it posted on our district's website. But it's really important that people see you. And that could not just be bus drivers, but that could also be just motorists in general. Clothing when I was a kid had reflective pieces on it, but it seems like nowadays it doesn't. So whether that be a reflective clip or a water bottle with a neon sign, just look at it as though you would want others to see your student standing there on the street. So just be as reflective as possible. Flashlights are appropriate. However, the warning caution on that is don't flash that into driver's eyes.
Right.
Any driver's eyes, really. But flashlights might be appropriate if they're facing the ground. And then for us in general, it's really important that we notice when there's a red light, a stop sign for buses. That always means that there's children in motion, whether that be they're getting on or off the bus. So for motorists, just being aware of that situation, when there's a yellow light, that's kind of like when you would come to a stoplight. If it's yellow, slow down, don't speed up. And then if it's red, come to a complete stop. And when in doubt, just stop, because it is a safety factor.
I've had conversations with people a lot about, so, you know, it's at the funny intersections, if it's at a T, or what if it's on Trunk Road where there are four lanes, and what am I supposed to do there? And I believe there's some resources on the website that address some of those things.
There are, and then also the State of Alaska DMV has some resources as well explaining what the protocol is for Alaska, because some of those laws do vary from state to state.
And that's a tricky one, especially there's somebody who works in my office who has a situation in their neighborhood where it's just the way that the streets are, and people never know. And so every driver interprets it differently. So that may be one of the things that, what am I supposed to do at this interesting intersection? So we might be able to provide some resources for our community members on that directly.
And when in doubt, stop.
Just stop. Yeah, that's a good idea. So coming up, it's not next week, but the following week is a National School Bus Safety Week. And my department, the Public Information Office and Pupil Transportation, wants to make a big deal out of this. This is important to us. We have so many kids out on our buses waiting for bus stops. And so it's a full week devoted to just safety tips and some of the things that you address, Crystal. But it's also a school bus driver recognition day is in there, and that's on Monday, October 22nd. Do you want to talk about some of the things that we do for school bus driver recognition?
Absolutely. So, you know, in my department, I do receive a lot of unfortunately complaints, but one of the awesome things is that we get to see a lot of good things that drivers do, and they do. They're doing amazing things across the district every day, and we really want to recognize that positive influence that they can be. And so we have traditionally celebrated this in May. We're shifting it to October for a lot of different reasons, but the first being that it can align with the National Recognition Week. And one of the first things we do is a potato bar. This is the Valley, right? We love our potatoes. And so we have a potato bar there at the bus barn. It's cheese, sour cream, onions. So the drivers can come in throughout their day and they can collect their potato or two and have the works on it. And that's our being the school district's way of appreciating them. In addition to that, the individual schools recognize their own bus drivers. So some of them have collected coffee orders. Some of them have breakfast for them. Some order t-shirts or sweatshirts with their names on them. One this year just told me that they had taken the bus driver's pictures to include them in the yearbook.
That is so great.
All of those things make a big difference in helping the drivers to appreciate that they're part of the team.
One of the superintendent, when we go out sometimes and she'll visit the school bus barn, she still knows many bus drivers from when she was a teacher and principal at the schools. So I think it just speaks to some of our bus drivers, the longevity that they have had with our students, years and years and years of service of driving our kids safely to school. So I love that. That's always so fun for me.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that are important for our listeners to know about students and pupil transportation?
There's one. Well, I would say if you haven't visited the website, definitely visit not just the school district's website, but we do have a department, transportation department website. There's some very helpful information on there. We mentioned that the PSA announcements about reflective gear and actually when to stop for a bus stop are on there as well, posted. But we have an application under your parents' quick links. So when parents log on to the website, they can go to the right-hand side under parents. It's a quick link. And it's called Transportation Lookup Tool. If you click on that, the third option down is Where's My Bus application. And that is directly linked to the GPS onboard the buses. So,
oh, wow.
And this would primarily be for the first student, any first student buses, so that core area again. But you click on that link, and you would need your family ID number, which you should be able to access an iParent. If you can't find that, you're welcome to call either the transportation department or the IT department. We can look that up.
I think the schools, too, also have that number.
Yes.
So
yep.
If that's an easy contact for you.
Yep. And you use your family ID link. And the reason it's a family ID is because it links all of your students together. So if you have an elementary school student and a middle school student, you can look both of theirs up. And it tracks the bus. So you can see on a map where that bus is located. So let's say if it's running a little bit behind or even just a little bit early, you can look and see it's effective up to 6 minutes. We have seen a 6 minutes delay in certain areas of the valley, typically ones that have really poor cell service. But it's a nice application for parents to be able to look and see where their bus is at. If the bus is subbed out for any reason, like if the driver showed up and they had a flat tire or they needed attention maintenance-wise and they're switched into a sub bus, it may not show up for that reason. But in general, if they're in the regularly assigned bus, they can use that application.
Excellent. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with kids and buses?
No, just be very nice to your bus driver. They have a very hard job, and they do an amazing job every day.
This is Jillian Morrissey, Public Information Officer for the school district, and I had Crystal Smith in the studio with me. Thank you so much for coming in, Crystal, and keeping our kids safe.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.